What we have been discussing up to this point in time, this quarter, this is the last Sunday of the quarter, is serving the Lord with gladness, which is basically Mark Copeland's material, a series of topical lessons that he presented, explaining how we can get more out of the worship that we offer up to God in the assemblies of what we do when we are gathered together. The last lesson that we started last week is a little bit different from the others in that it's not talking about the worship assembly, but when we come together for the purpose of classes. We almost finished that first section, Roman numeral 1, but there are a couple of things I want to add at the end of that Roman numeral, and we'll get into the second part of the discussion after that. So we just have a few more things to cover. I think we'll have plenty of time to finish this particular lesson up. It's not as dense as some of the others. Just the letter B under the outline of Roman number 1 is the benefits of Bible classes. And we talked about the fact that it gives us the opportunity to study the Word of God more deeply and also to ask questions during the study. It gives us a little bit of a flexibility if a question to deviate from the narrative. I tell young men when they're thinking about teaching a class or preaching a lesson, it's much easier to preach than it is to teach. I don't know why it is that there are individuals who are willing to teach, but they're not willing to preach, because the teaching is much more challenging. When you're up here teaching, people can derail the class. They can ask a question that you're not familiar with, or they can deviate, and to maintain control of the class as a teacher is something that is somewhat challenging. To have a sufficient knowledge of the subject where if a question is asked, you can answer that question instead of saying, "I don't know, I'll have to get back to you on that," which is fine to do, and you're encouraged to do that. You don't want to try to bluff your way through something you don't understand or know. But that's a challenge. Whereas if you study, if you've prepared a sermon, it's a linear narrative. You control the narrative. You control the line that you're going to go down. And when it's over, it's over. And now you might have some questions after that you can't answer. But during the actual presentation, it's a straightforward thing. So preaching is actually easier than teaching Bible classes in many ways. But what a Bible class does is if the line is being followed and the progression is ongoing and it throws you, or you're not sure where you're going or why it's going this way or what it means, then you can ask a question. And as a result of that, we can perhaps have a better understanding as a result of the teaching, which is something that's beneficial. Thirdly, to share one's own knowledge of the Bible. So when the preacher is preaching, he's sharing his knowledge. When the teacher is teaching, as a part of the discussion, you can give some input in regard to that. And there can be a broadening with regard to people's understanding of the Scripture. And then, if you'll notice, it says, number 4, to accelerate the rate of one's spiritual growth, pointing out the fact that someone who's coming to the Bible classes is going to grow stronger spiritually and increase rapidly or more rapidly in the maturity of his faith, because he's having more opportunity to study God's Word. And that's basically what we covered in our first time together. There are two more points that we did want to make note of, because we gave them short shrift last week as our time was coming to an end. First one is it allows you to enjoy the fellowship of studying with other Christians. What I want to note there, the idea of the enjoy part, because we've already talked about the fact that you benefit from it. So it's my hope that everyone, as you have an opportunity to come to study together in a Bible class situation, it's something that you enjoy. Because if there is no enjoyment that comes from that, and to be honest, my perception is that some people don't enjoy the Bible studies because of the fact that they aren't present at the Bible studies typically. It may be that, as we talked about last week, there may be a reason, a justifiable reason, whether it be health or something else, that precludes you coming. But to stay at home until the 11 o'clock hour simply because you don't want to come at 9 o'clock, you don't want to come at 10 o'clock, I think that indicates not necessarily a heart problem, but a reception problem, something that's wrong. Because as Christians, we should enjoy delving into God's Word, and we should enjoy talking to one another about God's will. It's a privilege, first of all. It's something that indicates a commonality of heart. We all are of one mind. And you know, if you have Facebook groups, for example, that are created around a particular hobby or a particular interest. I'm actually, just to give you an example, a member of a Facebook group that involves golf, and they like to talk about golf, and I like to talk about golf. They talk too much about it, though. I seldom look into it because there's just so many posts. I mean, people are really crazy about golf. But every once in a while, a post will catch my eye, and I'll read it, and I'll look at the comments that are under that post to see what other people have to say about it. It's something that would not interest you at all, but Josh and I would probably get something out of that. We would enjoy it. They have Facebook things about fishing. They have Facebook, tons of Facebook groups and online media about pro sports and college sports and high school sports. And okay, I know I'm pushing the things that I like, and there may be knitting and sewing, and Judy, she shares pictures of her flowers, and I enjoy that, Judy, but I don't typically read through all the posts and the comments that follow. I have once or twice and found other ladies who themselves are gardeners, and they just love her pictures, and they talk about the plants, and they talk about what's happening in their gardens and that kind of thing. And it doesn't interest me all that much, but they enjoy it because they have these common interests. We have a common interest. It's our Lord, and it is His will for us. And what we're doing when we come together like this is having the opportunity to discuss our common interests. If you don't enjoy it, there probably is a heart problem that exists there, but at the very least, it may be that you've just not sufficiently given it a chance, that you've just not addressed it looking at it from that point of view, because it can be a thrilling thing. And when Josh was talking about this in our Bible class last week, his joy of teaching the middle school students, because he's sharing with them some insight that he's gained in his study of God's Word, and what he likes most about it is when they get it and their eyes light up. Oh, and I tell you what, if you ever get a chance to teach Zoe, the grin that comes on her face and her eyes light up when she gets it, when it snaps in. Now, she may have a frown on her face when you're explaining it until that thing snaps into place, but then she just brightens. It's such a neat thing to see, and I understand why he feels about that, because I get that same feeling. Don't get it as much from you guys as I do from the middle schoolers, but I do enjoy that. And so if we can share these things with one another, it's something that is enjoyable. Okay, Thomas, questions about that? All right, the next point is, and it's the last point in that first section, is to encourage other Christians by your presence and participation. You don't know how I would appreciate and be encouraged if the number that we find here right now in our Bible class equaled the number that we'll find in about 45 minutes, or 50 minutes, because some people walk five minutes late. So if those numbers are equal, oh man, that would be wonderful. Now here we are studying together, and then we take a 15-minute break between the end of the class and the beginning of the worship hour, and nobody comes through the door except for visitors. Because everybody's already here. And why are they already here? Because they wanted to be here for the Bible study. And that would be such an encouragement to me, and it's an encouragement to your brethren. I know that I'm talking to the choir, speaking to the choir because you are here, but I do want you to recognize just how much of an encouragement your presence is, and how it can be discouraging to your brethren if you could be here. And again, we've got some members of our congregation whose health basically precludes them coming for the full amount of time. If they get here for the purpose of worship and that's all that they can do, then I appreciate them every bit as much. But the ones that choose not to come and then show up later, that can be a discouragement. But it's truly an encouragement. Let's look at it from the positive. You benefit. They benefit from your presence. And the fact that you're interested and inspired to learn can inspire others to desire to learn as well. Okay? So, questions, comments about any of that material in the first week that we studied and didn't quite finish? All right, then let us start out with point two, Romans 2. All of these outlines, by the way, that Mark shared with us. The first one is basically scriptural why it's important. The second one, how we can improve it. So, the second point is how we can improve those Bible classes. And there is some we're going to restate some things, especially in this class, because the first point under Roman numeral 2 is that it will help if you attend. And that's kind of a silly thing to say, but it must be said. If you're going to benefit from the Bible classes, you have to be there. And if you're going to benefit and get the full amount, you have to be there every week. And by the way, when we talk about the book of Revelation, we're going to be doing a little bit of reviewing through the process, and we're going to be trying to, do you remember back when, and going back and notice how a symbol was used earlier and it's going to be used again, and parallel those kinds of things. There are parallels that are found in the book of Revelation. We studied and we talked about the seals, and now we're talking about the trumpets, and then we're going to be talking about the bowls, and you're going to see the parallelism that's found in the book. But really, if you're sporadic in your attendance, you may be lost, especially in a book like Revelation, of all the apocalyptic language, the symbols, the figurative things. So it's important to be there, be present to as many as you can. If you miss, I'm going to make an extreme effort to ensure that each Sunday I upload the audio, so that if you miss, you can hear it early in the week. I know I'm way behind on audio, but I'm going to catch up, and I'm going to keep up with regard to these things. All right, so attendance is important. All right, letter B in the material is you need to prepare. And again, since I thought it would be good for us to talk about this and the discussion of the book of Revelation and the study that we're going to have, preparation is important. Familiarity with the language of the book. Familiarity with, oh, and I forgot to tell you about that. Let me just make note of this before we go on. There are two indices. You notice I know the plural of index. It's indices or indexes. I think they both can be used. The first index has the major characters and objects appearing in John's apocalyptic vision, starting with Jesus himself, the many times he's referenced, and what he's referenced as. He's called Jesus Christ, the loud voice, the Son of Man, various descriptions in the seven churches of Asia, the letters, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, a lamb as though it had been slain, he who is faithful and true, the Christ, the child, the Alpha and the Omega, the bright and morning star. That shows you some of the language that he's found. So you come across, he says, I am the bright and morning star. Who is the I am? Who is he? Who's saying this? And if you have this list and you go to it, what I strive to do in the list is give it all of these different symbols and such. And each time it's used in Scripture, and it's in the order that they first appear, with an explanation of what the symbols mean. So this will be extremely beneficial to you in your private study. Now, having said that, I do want to make note of the fact that I may change my mind as to what that symbol means in the midst of the study. This is as I understand it right now. We're going to spend some time in depth study through it. There may be some alterations made, probably minor if that is the case. But that will be helpful to you as you read and understand. The final index that's found is the meaning of the various numbers in the book. That list is actually taken verbatim from Robert Harkrider's commentary on the subject. I just typed in this stuff and gave him credit for it. So, what do the numbers mean? Because the numbers are not literal, they're symbolic as well. So, utilize that in your private study is the reason I wanted to bring that up. But preparation. So, if you have read, if you know basically what the symbols mean, and you're studying, it's going to help you both in the Bible class to get know where the discussion is going, to understand these things, but also if you do want to do prep work as far as filling that stuff in, it's going to assist you in that as well. All right, so preparation is important. Not just with the book of Revelation, the study that we're having, but any time. I know what happens. I know that we've got these outlines, and that most of you didn't bring the outline. This is linear. It's okay. But did you look at the outline before today? Did you look over the stuff? Did you read the scriptures that were cited in that? Did you make some notations in the outline or in your Bible so that you would remember what you studied? You're going to get a lot more out of the Bible study if you do those kinds of things than if you just show up on Sunday with no preparation at all. It's always that way. And I've always wondered about that, why it is that we, and some parents are better than others at it, but why we insist that the children, especially the primary school and the middle school and high school children, that they have their lesson done. Yell up at them up the stairs if you've got a second story. Do you have your lesson for tomorrow? Yeah, Dad, I've got my lesson for tomorrow. Okay, you better sure make sure you got everything filled in for the lesson. And then the father shows up for the Bible class not having looked at the material. You know, that's something that I understand sometimes time precludes us doing it. I was a bit embarrassed Wednesday night because not only did I not look over the lesson before Dennis brought that lesson, but I also left my book back in my office. I didn't want to get up during the class and go get it. But I had been working so hard on my Revelation stuff that I didn't look over it. And I made some mistakes in some of the things that I said. Kind of got us derailed when I shouldn't have as a result of that. I should have looked at it first before I opened my mouth, and I didn't do it. That's embarrassing. We need to prepare so we aren't embarrassed like that. Yes, sir.
Well, the why is easy. It's because the kids are sitting there and you see whether they've done their lesson or not. But we didn't go around the room today and see whether everyone did their lesson.
That's true. Maybe I should start doing that.
No, I tried it. It went horribly.
You got in trouble for that.
But it shouldn't have gone horribly, right? The reason it went horribly is because people were embarrassed that they hadn't done their lesson.
Yeah. Do you have your book with you? And have you filled out your book? That's something we ask our kids, and perhaps we ought to ask ourselves as well. It's very good. But I like Justin. I'm afraid that if I were to ask that, it would go horribly, so I won't. But I would encourage you to be prepared when you come to the classes. Anything else? Anybody else? Yes.
I don't want to weaken your effort to encourage, because that's absolutely needed and necessary. And again, like you said, we're preaching to the choir here, but I've had that habit myself, you know, for years, not preparing, just coming. But because it's easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's no accountability. That's what Justin's talking about. But what I'm saying is, be in following, absolutely, do those. But if you don't do those, don't not come. Still come.
Very good, yeah.
Because you will get something out of class. You will learn.
Absolutely.
If you don't prepare to do anything, just by coming and sitting and listening.
That's a very important point. And again, the emphasis we had is not, again, an either-or situation. But the point and the premise of all this is, how can you get more out of? It's not saying if you're not going to do it, then don't try. It's certainly not saying that. But how can you get more out of it? Preparation is certainly something important. All right, anybody else? All right, the third point here is to contribute. And again, this is something that's important. Let's just read the three things. It says, first, by sharing the fruits of your own study. Now keep that in mind. Sharing the fruits of your own study. So you've studied, and you've learned some things, and the teacher's not covering those things, and so you share the fruits of your own study. Secondly, by asking questions when something is not clear. That's extremely important. He mentions here that good teachers like feedback. It helps to know if the message is getting across. And I remember that there was a time when I was a very young preacher and I was teaching a high school class in Tucumcari, New Mexico. And I was trying to explain the concept of grace and contrasting the truth with regard to that concept with the view that if you're saved by grace, that obedience can have nothing to do with it. That's the Calvinistic position. And so the idea that the need for attendance and the need for Bible study and the need for the proclamation of truth and the need for living righteously, that those are not works that earn your salvation as people individually, because you're saved by the grace of God. And yet the works are required. The obedience is required. I was trying to explain why that is and explain really what grace was. And I was using illustrations, different things, and they were looking more and more and more confused. And I said, well, where am I losing you? Because they weren't saying anything. They didn't look like they were getting it. And by having that discussion, they were finally able to I thought it was my fault. I wasn't explaining it well, but they were getting some misconceptions about what I was saying. It allowed me to clarify. It allowed me to focus it a bit more, to make the changes needed for them to get the concept, for them to understand it. And that's important for a teacher. Because, take Justin as an example with regard to the way his mind works and the logic that he uses and the approach that he takes. It's different than a lot of people. And there are times when he says things that I'm thinking, you know, okay. And I'm not nearly as good a mathematician as him, but I've got a mind that works kind of like at least organized. And so I finally get it, you know, or if I don't, I have to ask him. But if you're not getting it because his mind works a bit differently than yours, you can tell him you don't understand that. Can you explain it differently? And he'll make another effort. He'll go a different direction, and I'll do the same. And because I'm sure I say a lot of things that he doesn't get exactly. Like, why is he doing it that way? You know. And so that kind of thing is important, to have that interaction. Now, I do want to emphasize with regard to this, because I alluded to it in the reading, sharing the fruits of your own study with comments. I want to encourage discussion in Bible class. I'm not as good at facilitating it as some teachers are, but I never am upset if you raise your hand or if you ask a question, because that's an important thing that helps me. If you're going to make a comment, however, we have a tendency, and it's a habitual thing, there's nothing to it, but someone says, it seems to me, or in my view, and those are phrases that are okay to say, but if what you're going to tell me is something that you've come up out of your own thinking that doesn't have a basis in God's Word, I don't want to hear it. In other words, those kinds of things are not edifying. I think the Scripture teaches, or when I read this, what's the one that we hear quite often? It's, this passage to me, it means. Well, it means the thing to everybody. It's the same to everybody. What if in your study, what meaning have you derived from it that is biblically based? Well, what have you been able to uncover in its meaning? And that would sound a little bit highfalutin, wouldn't it? It would just sound a little prideful or arrogant. In my study, I've uncovered this truth. No, that's not the way we want you to put it necessarily, or to feel about it. Look at me, I've uncovered these things. But I've studied this, and this passage teaches this, and here's an application. Or I don't think that that's what that's saying, because, and you make a correction. If you've delved into it and you have something worthwhile to say that's going to benefit brethren, then say it. It's needed. If you have a question because what people are saying you don't understand, it doesn't matter what the question is. There are no bad questions. It's been said the only dumb question is one that is unasked. If you're not understanding something in a class, the purpose of the class is to show or to gain understanding, you need to ask that question. And if you ask it, if I can't answer it, someone else in the class may be able to. And that's a good thing, because there may be someone else who's just too timid to ask that exact same question, but it's in their mind as well. And you've helped not only yourself, but someone else by asking. Yes, yes.
So what you were saying before about being able to explain something, maybe having someone else in the class explain the exact same thing, but explain it from a different perspective, is really the iron sharpening iron, right? From Proverbs. A class that ends up being just another sermon ends up not facilitating the role of the class, right? Sermons and classes have different roles. And there have been times that a teacher said something and someone's asked a question and the teacher's tried to explain it again, and they ain't getting it across. But someone else in the class goes, listen, this is what the teacher's trying to say. And they explain it in a completely different way. And then the light bulb goes on for the person. And that's why teaching class is so much easier than giving sermons.
So you just contradicted me. That's all right.
This idea of contributing... It goes back, and since we're I had a cognitive, rational thought until he made me laugh. we're talking about how we can get more out of class. This isn't necessarily biblically based as much as it is science, though I think the science is backed up in the Scripture with some scripture, with some passages on repetition. But part of the reason to contribute is when you hear yourself say it, or you hear yourself ask a question, or you hear somebody else ask a question around you, it reinforces. And it also reinforces the answer, because now, instead of waiting for you to approach it in a sermon or some separate class 10 years down the road, you now have an answer attached to this question. I can't tell you the amount of times when I have come out of a Bible class and then later on that week, in random conversation with somebody else, actually having an answer for that because I was there, asked a question, or somebody else asked a question, and it was answered in Bible class. The repetition builds the neural pathways in your mind, and that's one easy way to do it. And the second thing about contributing, like just a moment ago, when you contribute, you make yourself vulnerable. You do toss yourself out there. And like me, frequently you're going to come out sounding goofy, at least half the time, if you're like me. But it helps you refine. It helps you refine. Because there's a thousand times I can have something in my head. To me, in my head, it sounds intelligent. I spit it out, and it's like, what in the world was that? But it refines you, because somebody's going to be like, like Justin said, dude, what do you even mean? you've done that to me as well. Okay, I heard you. What do you mean? And we go on more. So contributing helps in more than one way. And I wish more people understood that. It took me going to a secular work to understand that, to be honest. I used to be like, no, teacher's going to give me everything that I need. Not really. When people contribute, people ask questions, and things are bouncing off, then it all builds up together. And I wish more people understood that.
By the way, in regard to that, it's one of the reasons why personal evangelism is so much more effective with regard to the, we'll say, the rate of conversion. If someone comes and visits who's not a member of the church and comes and visits our assembly, and I preach to them, they may get something that they need, they may not. Partially because I'm not necessarily designing my lesson for them, but secondly, it may be not touching them. But if I'm able to interact with them, I get exactly what it is that they need, and I'm able to share it with them, and that's much more effective. So the interaction, the back and forth, is something very, very beneficial. Yes, sir.
Just to touch briefly on putting yourself out there or seeming goofy or something like that. In general, you know, when you're home with your family, you're going to act goofier than if you're like at work or you're something like that. And I think we struggle to think about church as our family the same way we think about our blood family as our family. But you really should. You really shouldn't worry about it when you're surrounded by a bunch of people that love you. I mean, my voice cracked like a teenager 3 times leading songs this morning. I'm not worried that, you know, y'all are going to go in a back room and start snickering about me or something. Nor am I worried when I bring something up in class that y'all are going to treat me in a way that would be harmful. Sometimes you'll come by and give me a ribbing about some example I've given or something like that. But again, it's good-natured and given in a way like you would give to your flesh and blood brother.
Yeah. I'm not advocating anybody be goofy in class, but at the same time, you're right. I mean, we are a family. We should have a willingness to put ourselves out there and knowing that we're going to be accepted. And that's why I say, you know, some people will feel embarrassed if they have a question, they're not getting something, and they think this is a dumb question or this is really not important, and so they won't ask it. But I don't know that anyone's ever asked a question of me in class, I hope not, where I said, that's not worth talking about, and go on, or be dismissive or insulting to someone who asked the question. If it's a question, and we're talking about spiritual matters, then it's important, no matter how fundamental it might be. And if there's a misunderstanding, those kinds of things, you should recognize that the willingness to speak to your spiritual family as you do your physical family is a good illustration of making it. The next two that we want to note here, because we are about out of time, we have 6 minutes, are really not that big of a deal in regard to getting out of the class. I do want to emphasize, as he does, that teaching a class is extremely beneficial for the teacher. And that's the point he's making here. One of the best ways to learn a subject is to teach that subject. And you know, because you do have to make preparations instead of just showing up, and or else you're not going to do a very good job. And like I said, when I spent a quarter now in doing preparatory work for the book of Revelation, and I know a lot more about the book, remembered a lot more that I've forgotten, know a lot more. I am enthralled by the message in a way that I wasn't before I started this study. And that makes me excited to share it with you, and I'm hoping that you'll get a little bit of that too, because it's been really an encouragement to me to be involved in this kind of study, and it's going to continue to be as I get more in depth with these things. So teaching a class is a way of getting more out of the classes, and of course that benefits others. In the text of 2 Timothy 2:2 and Titus 2:3, he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 of the things you've heard from me. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's that structure where it benefits one, and they in turn can benefit others, and they in turn, it's almost an exponential thing that can happen through that process. In Titus 2:3, we want to emphasize this, the importance of older women teach the younger women, because of the experience that you have and the insight and wisdom that may not be available for a man. It's one of the reasons why, though I taught the ladies' Bible class for like 25 straight years, I've enjoyed taking time off from that and letting the ladies teach it, because in doing that, they are able to add things and discuss things and talk about things that, number one, I don't have the experience and I don't have the insight, and number two, they're more comfortable with one another as they talk about that, and it's a very beneficial thing. They may not be as... Now, when we're talking about Jean Paulsell, she was every bit as good a teacher. I mean, she's a great teacher, a lot better teacher than me, especially on most particular subjects. But even if the teacher is not as maybe as talented or as experienced as someone else, because of the insight that they have on a particular subject, especially the women in this particular case, it can still be a beneficial class and beneficial and helpful. And by the way, Debbie and Laura, I'm sure, are doing a very good job of teaching this class this time, in the ladies' class. Okay, the second one is assist. And the reason I want to bring that up is because Donna mentioned to me that her daughters, who assist her in Bible classes, want to be in the Revelation class. That's very encouraging to me. Flattering is what I think the word I used to Donna. Hey, they want to come listen to my class. But anyway, so I'm not exactly sure how we're going to work it out, because she asks for an assistant. But you can learn a lot if you decide to assist. Especially if it's something that you desire to do sometime in the future and you don't have the experience to do it. Do you want to become a teacher of the young children? Donna is a great teacher of the young children. She's got 4 or 5 year olds coming up this next quarter starting Sunday. If you want to assist her and help her in that, if it's just as an observer and someone to say, for Donna to say, okay, Emberly's not sitting down, would you please go sit by her and put your hand on her shoulders and keep her there? That may be all that it takes, but to assist and to learn from that is something that is beneficial as well. So if you would like to assist any of our teachers, or if you're not willing to handle an entire class, would you say, Stan, if you're gone on a Sunday, I'll try a week. In that, if you'll give me some of the information you've got, you know, I'll try to, because people say I'm not going to teach it, but I'll ask questions and facilitate a discussion. If you want to do that, then it's something that will be beneficial and helpful to the brethren and to you yourself. Final point, and this is important: pray. And it's something we said over and over and over again through this study, but it's an important part of this as well. And that is that prayer is something that helps us in every endeavor as a child of God. When we talk about Bible studies, we can begin our study with a prayer. Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things from your law. That should be our sentiment in expressing those things to God. Remember that God has promised if we ask for wisdom without doubting, that He will grant us our wishes in James chapter 5. So the idea of praying for wisdom, the ability to make the applications of the things that we're studying and learning, is something that is certainly beneficial. As you study, ask God for understanding with a prayer like this, Psalm 119, verses 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Psalm 119, by the way, is a very good thing to look at. You want to know the proper attitude to have towards the Word of God. And then finally ending a study with a prayer like this, a final prayer. We typically don't end our studies with prayers. We begin our studies with prayer, but there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And it's something you should do privately in your studies, certainly. With my whole heart, I sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin. In other words, okay, I've studied this. I've got it down now. Now, Father, be with me so that I will make the proper applications and I may stay in those things that I've understood or I understand and I have learned. So prayer is something that is always beneficial. Whenever it is that we're approaching God's Word, that those prayers and that prayerful spirit and attitude in handling that is something that's extremely important. Let us never be cavalier in the way that we handle God's Word. Never be cavalier in the way that we approach a study of God's Word. Never think that it's not that big a deal, it's not that important. I think if everyone understood just how important it is to study and to know God's will for us, they would not only spend more time in study, but they would take advantage of every opportunity they have to come together with brethren of like precious faith and to benefit from their efforts in study as we commune together in that regard. We have fellowship one with another in the study of God's Word. All right? Questions or comments before we dismiss the class? Well, I hope that our discussion of singing, praying, taking the Lord's Supper, contribution, preaching, Bible classes, and general demeanor that we're to have as we worship God has been helpful for us to get more out of our assembly and be able to serve the Lord with gladness. Appreciate very much everyone coming to each one. Pick up with the Revelation material next time.